Please have a seat. Now, what is the least Christmassy word you can think of? What one word do you think most goes against the spirit of Christmas? If you can think of one, just turn to the person next to you and say that word now. Oh dear, you can almost feel the spirit of Christmas leaving this place. The candles are only just about managing to stay alight. Would you like to hear my nomination for least Christmassy word? Grab. On the 8th of May this year on Twitter, at Everyday Sexism started the thread hashtag grabbed to share stories of being physically, sexually assaulted, touched, groped, grabbed in public spaces. Within 2 hours, it was the highest trending topic on UK Twitter. People are increasingly aware that grabbing is unacceptable. Speaking of Twitter, ever since Her Majesty the Queen sent her first tweet from the Science Museum exactly 2 months ago, there's been no end of dubious tweets claiming to be from Elizabeth Windsor, such as this one on the 28th of November. Camilla on the phone says she's picked up some great hashtag Black Friday deals, but had to rugby tackle about 700 plebs out of the way. Awkward. It's so unbecoming of royalty. And whilst many Brits now scramble to grab Black Friday deals each year, many also feel some regret at this latest imported tradition. Parents instinctively feel there's something wrong when we see children focused on what presents they're getting. They miss the true meaning of Christmas. Is Cliff Richard right in Mistletoe and Wine, a time for giving, a time for getting? Do both of those go together? Well, tonight's first reading was telling Christians how to relate to one another in a church community. It applies no less at Christmas time than all year round. The key point for healthy relationships is in Philippians 2, verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So it's very worthwhile spending some time trying to understand Jesus' mindset, Jesus' attitude. I guess on the first Christmas day, his mind didn't really have anything in it except vague, wordless inklings of dawning awareness of mummy, milk, swaddling bands need changing. Exactly like your and my first day out of the womb. But Jesus is also unlike any of us in that he existed before he was conceived and made a deliberate decision to be conceived and born. The reading went on about Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Now, that's strange writing, isn't it? Why does it say what he did not do? Is there some way he might have regarded equality with God as something to be exploited? Or is it contrasting him with someone else, someone who did think that way? Yes, it's setting Jesus apart from everyone else. Everyone thinks, use your position to gain maximum advantage for yourself. If I'm in a position of power, I can get people to do what I want. If I'm an MP, I can claim all sorts of expenses. If I'm paid a salary plus commission or bonuses, I'll channel my work to get the most I can out of it. But Jesus is different. Some Bible translations use the word grasped rather than exploited here. It's back to the grabbing idea and setting Jesus apart from that. Somebody else did try and grasp equality with God. The first man, Adam, represented all of us. He and the woman reached out and grabbed the forbidden fruit after listening to the lying snake. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He wanted to become like God, to take the place of God. Now, we can despise Adam's action, just as we lament the children's grabbing focus on presents they're getting, or we frown on the Black Friday hoards. But we have to recognize these things in ourselves as well. We have the same attitude as Adam every time we ignore God and his word, the Bible. Every time we think we know better, and we will choose for ourselves what's right and wrong. We're grasping, grabbing for an equality with God which is not rightfully ours. God made us. We belong to him. Our right place is as his loving subjects under his loving reign. That's what's best for us. It's what we were made for. Jesus, on the other hand, has always been equal with God. He was in the beginning with God. Through him, all things were made. In John chapter 17, we get a glimpse of the relationship between Jesus and his Father God. Jesus is praying as a grown man, and he talks about the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. Jesus used his position to maximum advantage, not forgetting, but forgiving. The reading said he emptied himself. This doesn't mean that he stopped being God when he became a man. He was still equal with God, but he gave up the privileges of divinity. He swapped glory for shame. Sapphire paved courts for stable floor, as the hymn puts it. Omnipresence for the confines of a baby body. Omnipotence for human weakness. Omniscience for the limits of a human mind. Taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Like your landlord becoming your lodger, wrote the 20th century poet Simon Jenkins, like your landlord becoming your lodger, like your managing director up before you for interview, like Beethoven queuing up for a ticket for his own concert, like a headmaster getting the cane, like a good architect living in a slum built by a rival, like Picasso painting by numbers, God lived among us. That's the wonder of Christmas. But that's not the end of the story. How far did Jesus go in humbling himself? Augustine of Hippo reflected on this in the 4th century. Man's maker was made man, that he, ruler of the stars, might nurse at his mother's breast, that the bread might hunger, the fountain thirst, the light sleep, the way be tired on his journey, that the truth might be accused of false witness, the teacher be beaten with whips, the foundation be suspended on wood, that strength might grow weak, that the healer might be wounded, that life might die. and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Starting Christmas Day with a communion service, as we are now, reminds us why God became a baby. He became a baby in order to grow up and, as a man, to die a criminal's death. In some extraordinary way, he died so that we might live. This is a hard thing to get our heads around, but it's important to think about. In the Christianity Explored course, we thrash around three really important questions. Who is Jesus? And we examine this claim that he is actually God in the flesh. Why did Jesus come? And we end up talking, as I have now, about his death and its meaning. And thirdly, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And we work out what many people are longing to get clear. How can I be a real Christian? Now, everybody needs to know their answer to those three questions. If you're not sure what you think about them, can I suggest three things? One suggestion is fill in one of these cards to sign up for Christianity Explored. It's actually a course that's started already. You've missed weeks one and two, but we're running a catch-up session on the 13th of January covering those 2 weeks, one and two, and then merging with the existing groups for week three on the 20th of January, followed by four more weekly sessions. So Christianity Explored would be a really helpful way to think about those three questions. Second suggestion, take one of the Gospels, take Luke's Gospel from the porch and read it between Christmas and New Year with these three questions in mind. And third suggestion is for now, during this service, when we share the bread and wine, it takes a bit of time for this number of people to come to the distribution points and so on. And so we have a wonderful opportunity for a few minutes in this special Christmas atmosphere to reflect and perhaps pray. Look up at these three crosses high up on the wall here. One gold, one dark, one light. And ask yourself, how can the death of Jesus bring me life? In the seat pockets in front of you, as well as these Christianity Explored cards, are some cards that say, why are those three crosses different colours? And during communion, it would be a really good moment to take one of these out and read what I wrote there to explain how Jesus' death can bring us life. Is Christmas about giving or receiving? The answer has to be both. This is how we can meaningfully give to others, if we first receive from Jesus. So the challenge this Christmas is, I'm not going to say stop grabbing and give, as you might be expecting me to say. The challenge this Christmas is stop grabbing and humbly receive. Receive the gift Jesus offers at such great cost to himself. And then, with his mindset, humbly give.